Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song tonight. Each every one of us should live each day with that attitude, lifting our praise to the one who set us free, the one who died for us. Just need to see our teenagers serving the Lord as they do. Thank you, Sammy, for that. That was a blessing. Let's all turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. Glad to be with you here tonight. Excited to hear the news about Pastor. It's going to be awesome to see him. We miss him very much. Brother Aaron, make sure you get this part to him on the recording. We do miss him. It's pretty awesome. We didn't think we'd see him here at that by that time, and it's neat to see what God's done, how he's healed him, and how he's just progressing along. So thankful for that. Sunday night, as we were closing out, I told everybody I was preaching tonight, and I gave you a warning, and then I said, please come, so I think you like me. And before the service, someone came and said, the only reason I came tonight is because you said that. And so I'm just going to use that every time. And then I said, well, now I'm really nervous because I need to make sure it was worth your time. And they said, well, don't be nervous. We're not expecting much. We're just, yeah. They didn't say that. I made that up. We're in 1 Kings chapter 18. This is an incredible story here. Elijah on Mount Carmel. And there's a match between the prophet of God and the prophets of Baal. And it's one of my favorite Bible stories. You'd think, look at this book earlier in 1 Kings. We know that God sent Elijah to prophesy to Ahab and Jezebel to tell them that a drought was going to come. God was going to bring a drought. There'd be great famine in the land. And he gave them that message. And he was standing and prophesying that to them. And they were obviously angry, upset about what had happened. And from that time that he told them that till where we are here in the scripture, it had been 3 years and still no rain. And they had been in drought. And Ahab had given Jezebel permission to hunt down and kill the prophets of God, to head up that division or whatever you want to call it, them to go out and find the prophets of God and kill them because they were holding them responsible for what had happened there. We know God sent Elijah again to confront Ahab and to tell him that he wanted him to bring his prophets of Baal, and he was going to come. There were going to build altars there on Mount Carmel, and there's a great scene there that we find there at the top of Mount Carmel. At this time, there's thousands of people there on the top of the mountain, and they're about to see which God shows up. We know the end of this story, but there's still some things that we can learn in it together tonight. So if you look there, 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to deal with the whole chapter tonight, but we're just going to read verse 20 through 24. Look there, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. It says, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it upon the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Tonight we're going to be looking at some principles of being fully committed, fully committed. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for who you are, what you've done for us. God, I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, tonight as we're in your word here in 1 Kings. I pray, God, that, Lord, as you've given me so much here, Lord, in the past couple days to help me in my own heart, in my own life, to convict me, to, Lord, help me press on more for you and be fully committed. I pray, God, that you do the same in the hearts of each and every person here tonight. Lord, I pray that we are all ready and receptive, God, to receive your word. Lord, and as we receive it, I pray, God, that we would obey and be doers of your word. Lord, be with me as I preach. Help me to say your words only. We ask this in your name. Amen. Julius Caesar formed a special attack against Britain, and he brought his Roman troops all on ship over there to that island, and as he arrived at Britain, they started hiking up the mountains. As you know, there are many there in that section of that country. And he took a very bold and decisive step as he did it, and he brought all his troops and told them to go to the edge of the cliff of Dover. And he wanted them to go to the edge of the cliff of Dover, look out there into the ocean. And when he told them to go there to the edge of the cliff, they looked out and they saw every ship that they arrived on was burning. Julius Caesar ordered that the captains of those ships would set them all afire, and by doing that, he eliminated any kind of retreat for his soldiers, for his troops. And when he did that, taking any kind of retreat away, it really left the only option for them is to advance and attack and take over, and they were successful in their endeavor at that time. Julius Caesar showed great commitment to the cause that he lived for at that time, and by doing what he did, eliminating the option of retreat, he also forced the soldiers into a great commitment. There was no other option for them but to be there and to fight. We look here in 1 Kings chapter 18, and we find a very different place of mind that the children of Israel are in at that time. They were not committed. And we can look here in verse 21, and we find Elijah there on the top of Mount Carmel speaking to everyone, and to the children of Israel in particular. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." There was a great conflict going on in the life of each and every one of the children, many of the children of Israel at that time. They wanted both. They wanted to worship the God that had saved them from Egypt, from bondage there, and they also wanted to worship this new god of Baal that many of them had been introduced to at that time. They wanted to be right with God, and they wanted the fellowship of the world. They wanted both lifestyles. They didn't want to break the past, but they wanted more enjoyment in their life. They wanted something new. They wanted something that was more for them, and they didn't want to leave God in particular, but they also liked what they were receiving in worshiping the gods, in worshiping Baal. But God brought Elijah here to them at this point, and he demanded a decision from them. He said, "Are you for me or are you against me?" He said, you can't be on both sides. You can't have two opinions. Whichever side you want to be on, choose that side. But no longer am I going to allow you to be divided in this place. There's a similar struggle in this part of the Bible is what we even talked about on Sunday night in the battle of the flesh and the battle of the spirit. We must choose God. We cannot be living in the Spirit unless we are denying the flesh, unless we are walking in the Spirit. These people were trying to still hold on to God while they were also worshiping Baal, and God wanted them to make a choice. You know, Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You know, Elijah was chastising the people of God who were teetering between two sides, and it had gone on far too long at this point, and the line was being drawn in the sand, and a decision needed to be made by the children of Israel. Looking at this and looking at the book of 1 Kings, we have no doubt where Elijah stood. We know Elijah was on God's side. We know Elijah was a prophet of God, and he was obedient to God, and it was clear where Elijah was committed to. He was fully committed to God. There's a great need in our church for us to be fully committed to God. There's a great need for every one of our teenagers to be fully committed to God and to serving God, to knowing him more, to being part of the services, to be in your Bible. There's a great need for you to be fully committed. There's a great need for every Sunday school teacher, every junior church worker to be fully committed. There's a great need for every choir member to be fully committed to the cause of Christ. There's a great need for every Christian to be fully committed to God. God desires people with that devotion, with that boldness, with the testimony being sold out for him. He desires us to be fully committed, not teetering from one thing to the next. In this chapter, I want to point out five things that we see in this chapter that are characteristic of Elijah's life that need to be characteristics of any Christian that wants to be fully committed for the Lord. The first thing is, if we want to be fully committed, we must be obedient. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. Verse 1 here of chapter 18, it says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria." So 3 years ago, God sent Elijah to Ahab and Jezebel to tell them that a great famine and drought was going to come. That did not make them happy. And God is coming to Elijah 3 years later, telling him to go back to Jezebel and Ahab. If you remember what I said earlier on, Ahab had just given Jezebel permission to go after every prophet of God to kill them. And God is telling Elijah to go to where they were and to give them this proclamation. And what do we find Elijah doing? And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. Wasn't going to be easy. Wasn't exactly a safe thing for him to do, but God told him to do it, and he went. He's being sent to do something very dangerous, but he obeyed the command of God. Nothing mattered to him but that he obeyed his God. As I think about this kind of obedience, I'm reminded of what we find in Genesis chapter 6 of Noah. We know Noah was the only righteous man there in his time, and as Noah was there, just living for God and worshiping his God, God came to Noah and told him to build an ark, something he had never seen before. And he's telling Noah that rain is going to come and water is going to come from all over the earth and the whole earth is going to flood and he is going to kill every one of those people. And Noah hears all these things from God and he gets the plans for the ark to be built and he tells them all these things are going to take place. And to anyone in that day and age that would hear these things, it would sound so crazy to them. But in Genesis chapter 6, the very last verse of Genesis chapter 6, we find Noah. It says, thus did Noah, according to everything that God commanded him, so did he. It's obedience. What did Jesus leave for us in the New Testament? He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say keep the ones that we think we'd like to keep or that are easier to keep or the ones that we find are more appropriate in the day and age that we live in to make everybody feel good. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. If we're going to be completely devoted to God, we must be completely obedient. We look here in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm thinking about Elijah and receiving this message from God and knowing that so many of these prophets of God that were there in that day were running for their lives. They're hiding in caves. They're running for their lives, just trying to do anything they can to be safe. And God is telling Elijah to go exactly where they were. And I'm trying to think of Elijah as he's receiving that, and maybe how I would feel, or just anyone in their flesh would feel. And you know, maybe Elijah could have been like, you know, God, they want me dead. You think I could just maybe send a messenger to them and I could give them the message that you've given me? He could have asked for something like that. He said, you know, I really don't know if that's such a great idea. And maybe he could have started to doubt God. Or maybe he said, you know, what if I just wrote them a very strongly worded letter and asked them to stop? All we see is Elijah went. God used him in that. First thing of being fully committed to God is being obedient. Second thing is being bold. Being bold. Verse 17 of chapter 18, look there if you would. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. There's this man bragging about his boldness. He was carrying around the tail of a lion, and he was telling everyone what he had done. He said, I cut it off with my pocket knife. Some people were very surprised and impressed with what he had done, and then others said, well, why didn't you just cut off the lion's head? And he said, someone else already did that. Sounded bold, but not so much. Elijah had gone to approach Ahab, and he's there giving the command, giving the message from God to him. And Ahab there in verse 17 says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're the one that made all this happen. You're the one that brought this drought, this famine upon our land. You're coming to me. Art thou the one that did this? And what did Elijah say? No, you are. He said, none of this is on me. He said, this is on you. This is on your disobedience. This is on your denying of the God of Israel. Elijah said, this is not my fault. This is because of your sin. We need to have that same passion and earnestly contend for the faith. You know, this world that we live in doesn't really like what the Bible says. They don't really like the sins being clearly laid out in the Word of God. They don't really like a lot of the things they find in there because it contradicts the way that they live. And there's going to be so many people in this world that are going to try to attack us or to try to make us feel guilty or to try to make us feel like we're the bad guy. But if we are obeying the Word of God, if we are following the commands of God, we must teach the whole Word of God. And we must not be afraid to share it with the world. We must not be afraid to stand by it. We must have boldness to go to the world with the Word of God, no matter what it says. Elijah wasn't afraid to be a little different. We need to continue to stand. We need to continue to be bold. We don't need to be condescending in the way that we say things. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to speak the truth in love. We are able to clearly share the truth with someone and to tell them what thus saith the Lord and still do it with a loving spirit, trying to help them, trying to show them the truth. You know, as we witness, as you go door to door many Saturdays, and as many of us, many pass out tracts throughout the week, there's going to be people that don't receive that as you would hope. I remember just a few months ago, I think I was out with one of the teenagers that day, and I knocked on a door, and a man answered and just started yelling at me, and I thought it was so intense, I thought he was joking with me. And within a few seconds after I was laughing, I realized, oh, you're serious. And we kind of walked away. But I, many times we aren't received extremely well. You know, there's a lot of people that I grew up in Missouri. And in Missouri, there's about, I don't know, 75-80% Catholic and Lutheran. And you go to the door down there and you tell people that it's not works that get you to heaven. It's not infant baptism that gets you to heaven. It is salvation through Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in Him. And nothing you can do can get you there. When you go tell them that, people get angry over that. People begin to show you the door as soon as you begin to share that with them there. But we're not there to make them feel good. We're there to share the Word of God in the best that we can. There's going to be a lot of debates in the workplace about abortion. Or about drug use, or there's going to be a lot of jokes that are said that are not appropriate, people that are saying things they should not be saying. And as a Christian, we shouldn't be in a place where we're trying to make everybody feel good. We need to be in a place where we are standing by the Word of God. And if something is contrary to what the Word of God says, we must be bold. May we never call wrong right just to save face with the people around us. We need to see what the Bible says and stand by it, be bold. Found this story of back in the day of King Henry VIII. A man by the name of Hugh Latimer preached, and King Henry VIII was in attendance, and the king was not very happy with the way that Hugh Latimer spoke. So he commanded him to preach the exact same message the next Sunday and recant some of the things he said and apologize for those things that he said. So Hugh Latimer got ready and went to preach the next Sunday, and he read this. He said, "Hugh Latimer, dost thou know before whom thou art this day to speak? To the high and mighty monarch, the king's most excellent majesty, who can take away thy life if thou offendest. Therefore take heed that thou speakest not a word that may displease. But then consider well, Hugh, dost thou not know from whence thou comest? Upon whose message thou art sent, even by the great and mighty God, who is all present and who beholdeth all thy ways and who is able to cast thy soul into hell. Therefore, take care that thou deliverest thy message faithfully." And then he preached the exact same message he preached the week before, but with a little more energy. It takes boldness to be fully committed to God. There's going to be people that oppose your views in the workforce, and there may be things that you have to separate from because of what the Bible says. There may be times you need to speak the truth to someone that you love about salvation. You may have some family that you really care about and you love, you've spent your whole life with, but they may disagree with you on what salvation says, and You don't need to agree with their belief in false salvation, what takes them to get to heaven just to make things good around the family. We need to share what the Bible says. You don't need to be afraid to speak out and say, hey, I know what you believe you think is, I know what you believe you think is good and it's going to get you there, but it's not by works but by faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to share the truth. We need to be bold. We need to be bold. Someone that's fully committed is going to be obedient. They're going to be bold. And the third thing tonight, they're going to be resolved. They're going to be resolved. Look at verse 22. It says, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. He said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. Turn over to chapter 19, verse 18. Elijah was there by himself at the top of the mountain, but we find here in chapter 19, verse 18, it says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. There were 7,000 who had not bowed to the prophet of Baal. Commentators and historians looking at those numbers there predicted there were millions of Israelites bowing to Baal. 7,000 had not bowed down. Most likely millions had bowed down. God's chosen people. They were led astray. They were falling to the temptation. They were falling to the pressure. They were giving in to these prophets of Baal. They were trying to get in on this new kind of worship that had been introduced, this new God of Baal. They were trying to worship on both sides, and there was a decision that needed to be made. And Elijah, again, he said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. He said, I don't care if I'm the only one up here that believes what I believe. I'm not bowing. I have my God. He had conviction. He was resolved. He had a firmly held belief that his God was the only God and that his ways were greater. If we're going to be fully committed, we need to be resolved as well. I saw this story of Abraham Lincoln. He met with a bunch of preachers for a prayer breakfast, and one of the preachers stood up and said, Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side. Some of the preachers were agreeing and amening to that, but Lincoln stood up and he looked at that man and he said, no, let us pray that we are on God's side. He said, more important than God coming over to where we are is that we are on God's side, that we are standing with him, that we are resolved to do what he has us to do. And the most important thing is that we are resolved and we are firmly planted in our beliefs. We are firmly planted in what the Bible says. You know, we need Christians who are fully committed. We need Christians who are not looking for what is acceptable by their peers, but what is acceptable to God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, so many Christians, so many churches are giving in to the ways of the world, accepting sin as normal or changing their beliefs, changing their standards to fit what makes people more comfortable. And what the Bible says is sin will always be sin. No matter what pressure we face from the United States of America, no matter what pressure we face by protesters, if it comes to that one day, no matter what kind of pressure we face by getting a letter in the mail saying, hey, you either need to stop doing this or you're going to be thrown to jail, no matter what pressure we face, we must be resolved to stand on the Word of God. Be fully committed to be on God's side. We're going to be fully committed. We need to be obedient. We need to be bold. We need to be resolved. The fourth thing, we need to be trusting. Trusting. We need to be people of faith. The story's really getting good at this point. Look there at verse 25. They'd gotten all the details of what they were supposed to do. And Elijah said unto them, verse 25, the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves and dress it, for ye are many. And call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they put the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called in the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. The false prophets began to, they dressed their altar and they got it ready and they began to dance around, they began to jump on it, they began to do all these things to call on the prophets of Baal to light their altar. Nothing. We find Elijah having some fun with this in verse 27. It said, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for For he is a God, either he is talking or he is pursuing or he is in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and he must be awake. Because obviously you're not being loud enough, so why don't you get louder? And they began to act even crazier than what they were doing. They started to jump around even more and dance around and to yell as loud as they could. And they were jumping on the altar. And then they began to, when there was no answer, they began to cut themselves. And the Bible says that there was blood all over the place from what was happening here. No response. They kept going. Just quickly, getting off subject a little bit, this conviction and dedication they had is somewhat convicting to me. The desire they had to see their false god work. They had completely given themselves over to reprobate minds, as we see in the Word of God. They had just lost their minds trying to for this false god to do something for them that he would never do. Verse 30, Elijah's turn. Said, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The altar was in disarray. It was not as it once was. It was unusable. It hadn't been used very much. It had been destroyed. And Elijah at this time grabbed 12 stones, one for each tribe, and built the altar of God. He went and got the wood, and he put the wood on top, and he got the bullock to be put on the altar. And then he looked at all the people and asked for help to dig a trench around the altar. They began to dig this great trench around the altar. That wasn't normal. And then we find Elijah there in verse 33. It says, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt surface and on the wood. Obviously, if there had been no rain for a certain amount, for a long period of time, if they were to dump all this water on, it would have caused a great mess where they were. That's the reason for the trench. And as he has them dig this trench and he has them get these four barrels of water, they dump it all over the water, all over the altar and soak the bullock, soak the altar, begin to fill the trench. And then he says, do it again. And he says, do it again. There was no doubt this was soaked. There's no doubt it was a muddy mess by this time. But Elijah believed his God. Yeah, I truly believe if God told Elijah to make this altar in the bottom of a river, Elijah would have done it, and God would have delivered. He had great faith. He was trusting. The African impala is a pretty incredible animal. It can jump 10 feet straight up in the air. It can jump a distance of 30 feet from one place to the next. But one kind of funny thing about the impala is that it can be held in a zoo by a 3-foot fence, by a 3-foot wall. They could jump over 3 times the size of the wall, but a 3-foot wall can hold the impala in because the impala will not jump where it cannot see. Faith is the ability to trust what we can't see. Faith is the ability to just put your trust in what the Bible says, even though we can't see him, even though we can't see what he's going to do, just to trust what he has promised. You know, someone that is going to be fully committed is going to be one of great faith. And if God commanded us to do something, if God commanded us to take a stand where we need to take a stand, or if God has shown you, pricked your heart to make a decision or to make a move, you need to make that move. If God says go, we need to go. If God says stay, we need to stay. If God says wait, we need to wait. We need to trust what God says. And even though we can't see, even though we can't understand the whole picture, even though we may not see how this is going to work out as we want it to work out or as God has promised, if we can't see the end in sight, do what God says. Trust him. A person that's fully committed is going to be obedient. They're going to be bold. They're going to be resolved. They're going to be trusting. And the last thing tonight, they're going to be victorious. They're going to be victorious. Look there at verse 36. It says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all things at thy word. He continues to pray. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me. that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. He said, God, may this prayer be a prayer that shows these people what you can do, and that it'll be something that brings my people back to you. Then he continues there in verse 38. He says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. As soon as he finished praying, the Bible says that the fire came from heaven and consumed everything. Didn't just dry it up. Didn't just light it on fire. But everything was gone. The fire of God consumed the altar and the ground was dry. Say, that's a victory. I want to see God work like that today. I want to see God work like that in this church. I want to see God work like that in my life. As I was just thinking of this text, I was thinking of victories that I've seen in my own life. And as small as they may be to the world or to what we find here in the Word of God, they were huge to me. And praising God for those things. Money that he's given us when we needed it. And times that he's blessed us with safety when we didn't know that we were in any danger. Maybe you're thinking of some time in your life that you received some bad medical news and God brought healing to you. Maybe you're thinking of a time where something happened that was something horrible to your family and that may have set you back or that may have hurt a lot of people and how God helped bring you out of that. I was thinking about the history of our church and how Pastor received that call from the American Baptist Association. They were going to give the building and Pastor was fully committed, stayed firm on his beliefs and said no. And the church sent the altar and they rejected that. And then we send the second altar and it's less than what it was before and they accept it. Seeing God do something incredible like that, what an awesome thing. It comes when you're fully committed. I remember as a young boy seeing revival happen in the church that we were at in Missouri and seeing all these people as our church spent so much time in prayer and as our church spent so much time just on the things of God and being committed to the work. And I remember as they were closing out the service one day, a deacon that was in the church for years stood up in the back and ran up to the altar saying he needed to be saved. I remember seeing things like that in my life of God working. I'm just praising him for those moments. May we be completely devoted to God. Elijah was, and God used him. You may be here tonight, and you say, I want that so bad. I want to see these great victories. I want to see these great mountaintops for God. And so sometimes we can desire those things so much that we forget what it takes to get there in the first place. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to be obedient. We need to be people of faith. We need to be people of boldness. Being fully committed. Pavarotti is one of the best tenor singers that's ever lived. And he told in his autobiography about when he was a boy, he really liked to sing. And his dad would take him to hear singers. And his dad put him in positions where he could receive voice lessons and where he could sing. And he just encouraged him to sing and sing and sing. And he received lessons from a professional tenor in his hometown of Modena, Italy. And Pavarotti wanted to be a teacher just like his teacher was to him. He went to college to be a teacher, and after he finished college, he went to his father for some advice, and he said, Father, should I be a teacher or a singer? And his dad looked at him, and he brought two chairs, and he used this example to him, and he said, Son, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. He said, for life, you must choose one chair. Pavarotti obviously chose singing. It took him 7 years to get his first concert or opportunity to sing, and then we know the rest from there. But commitment is the key. You got to choose a chair. Look at verse 21 again of our text tonight, chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people, and he asked them the question. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. It says, and the people answered him not a word. People weren't choosing sides. They just didn't answer. Seemed at this point they were still somewhat satisfied with two chairs. May that not be us tonight. May we realize that the God of Israel, the God that created this world, is the one that can send the fire down. May we decide in our life each and every day to sit in that chair. We decide to be fully committed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's Wednesday night. We don't have a musical invitation, but the altar is always open. What chair are you in tonight? Are you committed? Do you look at your life? Do you see those characteristics as part of it? The obedience, the boldness, the resolve, the faith, the trusting. When's the last time you saw victory in your life? Got to choose God. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the privilege to be at church tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, at this time, God, that you would help us, God, to be people of faith. God, that we'd be people that Lord, desire to live for you, that desire to walk in the Spirit each and every day. And Lord, I pray that we would just, Lord, have the determination to be fully committed and do what it takes to be fully committed. God, I pray that as our church, Lord, is wanting to move on and press on for you, continue to reach the community, God, I pray that we'd be people that are fully committed to your ways, to your word, God, that have faith, that obey you. And God, that as we do those things, God, you'd send the fire down in this city. Lord, that we see some great and mighty things, Lord, that you can do. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask this in your name. Amen.